Well, good morning and welcome to episode 14 of the Business Blueprint. I'm your host, Joe Sandin. Happy Cinco de Mayo to everyone out there and Taco Tuesday on the same day. It's a huge day today.
Day.
So I do expect this episode should slowly get better as the margaritas kind of kick in, right? But today we're going to talk about people. Today's episode is all about what it takes to build and scale a team as a company grows. And today I'm joined by someone who's been right in the middle of that with two rapidly growing companies right here in our region. So I'll do a little introduction here. Joining me today is Jessica Kulzer. Jessica is the director of HR for both Pack Power and Lycos Energy, where she leads enterprise-wide initiatives across HR, training and development, communications, and much more. She brings nearly a decade of experience in the renewable energy and construction industries, and she's played a key role in helping organizations scale their workforce, build strong cultures, and align people strategically within business growth. So Jessica is known for connecting people, process, and culture in ways that help organizations grow into high-performing, people-first teams. And that's exactly what we're going to dive into today. So Jessica, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to be here.
So I want to get to know you a little bit, Jessica. So let's just start by having you give us a little bit of your background. How did you get into HR and people ops?
Sure. So graduated from Concordia back many years ago, got a social work child family studies degree and took that and became a children's social worker in the Clay County area, where I worked and supported some families and kids going through real tough times. I would say and consider that in all of the days of HR and all my experiences that I've had thus far, no day has come as difficult as some of those days when you work with some of those kids and families that are really going through difficult moments in life. So did that, still think about those kids and families on a very regular basis. I jumped over to the American Red Cross, spent a couple years working with the great volunteers through Eastern North Dakota, Western Minnesota. Had a great opportunity just to see just a broad company and lens of supporting a macro community and seeing what we can do to give back, and led that for a couple of years. And then it was that kind of fork in the road time. I had a kid and I had another one on the way, and I had realized and recognized that I wasn't probably going to be able to do as much traveling and running around. And so there was an opportunity that came up over at Wanza Construction. It was a good opportunity, entry-level HR role, and I put my neck out there, put myself out there, and said, I'm going to give it a shot. And so I started off, and I found myself quickly with, you know, at the time, I think it was a $300, $400 million company. I found my weeks and time when crews and guys and gals would come from all over the country and would be sitting in the project planning rooms. I was HR, and I wanted to join them, and I was sitting there just soaking up every ounce of it. I was like, what are we talking about? And so I loved it. It was exactly what I felt like made sense to me at the time. I grew and I developed, and I developed relationships and kept the people being first, number one priority in my mind. And so I grew into a business partner. I worked my way and lens through all of the different facets of HR, through everything within Wanzek, and grew into being a director of HR and people and culture over at Wanzek. And, you know, I haven't looked back once. There's so many things where my life overlapped from being a social worker and working with the Red Cross, and in many ways that was HR itself. So that's who I am and how I've come to be at this point. And yeah, loving every second of it.
So what do you think drew you to HR over other areas of the business that you maybe could have been in, still working with people and utilizing those skill sets?
Yeah. You know, I think that I tend to be a pretty good listener, and I tend to be very interested in people and what do they want to be when they grow up? Where do they want to grow? What are the areas that maybe are holding them back? And so I think that those natural conversations of just people in general and helping to get them to their full potential has always been just an easy and something I navigate towards. And so it was always fun to see those natural progressions and career growth and opportunities. But also with my social work background, I think those tough conversations were easy conversations for me.
Had a lot of good a lot of good experience doing that.
I had a lot of good experience having tough conversations. And so, you know, it seemed to be like even when I was new in the HR realm over at Wanzek, people would come to me and they'd be like, this is a tough conversation. I don't even know where to begin. And I'd be like, I got it. So I think that for me, that was something that I'm glad that I had that opportunity and experience and just the ability to work alongside people and seeing just all the different lenses, whether that be from performance management to talent acquisition to strategy, engagement. It's just been all something that's been passionate for me.
So there's obviously many pieces that go along with developing talent. Do you have an area that's you're most fond of or a part of the job that you really enjoy most?
Yeah. I think it's always fun when you see an individual that has so many different skill sets and so many different areas that you can just see talent within the individual, but they maybe mm-hmm. don't see it in themselves or they've never been told, hey, you got a knack for maybe talking up a storm, so you should really consider yourself in a business development role or space, or you're really organized, so how can we get you maybe looking at some of the contracts, materials, negotiations? I think that that's something that, having the ability to be able to see people outside of just that micro lens of what they think is going to be best for them, but being able mm-hmm. to say, let's strategically develop and grow you into that next phase and career point of your life.
Yeah, and that's such an important thing because I think sometimes as organizations, we don't do a great job of like showing our employees a career path and like really understanding like, what do you want to do with your life? And where do you see yourself going? We can tend to slot them in a job and, not do a great job at that. How do you think, you've been doing this for a long time now, how has your lens changed from an HR perspective and kind of what you think that landscape looks like now versus maybe what it was like 10 years ago?
Yeah. So 10 years ago, looking at it, walking into the front doors of my new opportunity in HR, it was one of those where HR was known for being the hope you don't see them in the hallway. If you do, don't make eye contact, look down. And if their door is open, you find the long way and long route and you go that direction. Then later on, I find myself and some of the guys and gals would come down and be like, Kulzer, we need a person to join our fourth person golf group outing. Can you join us? And, from my perspective, that's a win. When you hear that HR can be that foundation of support, part of that, you're getting them involved in the beginning stages, not, oh crap, we need them now. And having that support that's a win. And so seeing it from that angle and even just where I'm at now with Pack Power and Lycos and having the opportunity to work alongside really talented people, but then also being able to just have fun with them. We're people. That's what it's about. It's the people and culture of a business. So let's keep it first and foremost about that.
So, in the companies you've worked with over the years, what kind of culture do you really think allows you to do that? What do you see in a company that makes that easier for you to do as an HR professional?
Yeah. I think first and foremost is seeing the entirety of the lens of a business. If you're just going to look at an organization and their executive leadership team, you're missing the rest of the foundation of an organization mm-hmm. and the pillars that hold that stool up. And so you gotta be willing to jump in and meet the employees where they're at. Some of my greatest moments in my HR experiences were when I went out to job sites and I'd find myself behind the hood of a welding machine and welding some metal and then driving back to my hotel and having guys scream out the window, "You're one of us." So that's fun. That's a win. And having that opportunity to grow and develop yourself and dive in, like that's what culture and working with people should look like. People and culture and HR, you find yourself behind a desk a lot of time and diving through papers or diving through policies or SOPs, but you got to also find yourself pausing and saying, where are the people and where's the heart of the organization and find yourself there.
Yeah. And hearing you talk, like you spend the time to go out to where they are and to really engage and understand the work and build a bond with your employees. I think that's such an important thing to do. So thank you. So we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to dive into the companies that Jessica works for, talk about their growth and what she's managing. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Business Blueprint. This is Joe Sandine, your host. Today we're speaking with Jessica Kulzer, who is the director of HR at Pack Power and Lycos Energy. So what we're going to do now, I want to take some time to get to understand those companies and learn a little bit more about what you do. They're both rapidly growing companies that have not been around that long. And a big theme, of today with, talking about people ops is, how do you build a successful team and a strong culture when you're growing a company so rapidly. So Jessica, let's just start with a real basic. Tell us a little bit about Pack Power and Lycos Energy and what do you guys do?
Yeah, absolutely. So both Pack Power and Lycos Energy based here in Fargo, North Dakota. Pack Power is a leading contractor in the high voltage industry. And then Lycos is battery storage company. And honestly, it has grown. You know, PAC, we just celebrated the 3-year anniversary a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lycos, we just celebrated the one year anniversary. And yeah, honestly, it's the growth that we've seen from an organizational standpoint has been incredible. But, you know, there's talented people, but there's a lot of people that say that, like, there's nothing that I won't step into and or challenge myself to make it work or be part of the team. So at PAC, we've completed roughly 25 projects to date. Currently, we are on 10 projects throughout the United States, a lot in the Texas, Arizona area, southern areas. We have about 15 projects that we're looking at getting in the coming weeks ahead, and we're at roughly 160 employees. So
wow! So in 3 years, 0 to 160—that's a big.
It
big
is
people change.
You know, when I joined PAC and Lycos roughly a year ago, and prior to that, you know, there was our you know, VPs of the organizations, our COOs, our HR. They were multi-hatted individuals. You know, one day they mm-hmm. needed to put the hat on of business development. One minute they jumped into estimating, and our HR gal, she ran the role of equipment manager to procurement to marketing, communications, HR. And so at that point, everybody kind of needed to step up and say, what is there that we can do? You know, Lycos, with them being just a year old and tracking on you know, hoping for potential 6 awards in the next month, 31 employees and working on their first battery storage project, it's awesome to see the momentum of an organization of people that just want to be excellent at their job. And that's one thing that we say all the time, like, let's be the gold standard. And how do we do that? Well, gold standard, in my opinion, is checking in on, you know, your people, not just on how are they doing in the work, but how are they doing at home? Like, what's mm-hmm. holding them back? What's the opportunity we can support them to get them to grow? And so the leadership and the people that I get to work with on a daily basis with PAC and Lycos, who, you know, together within our leadership have over 100 years of experience working together in the construction industry, is astronomical. I don't think you can find a lot of startup companies with three years or 1 year that can say that they have over 100 years working, you know, combined mm-hmm. together. So we've got a good thing going for sure.
That's amazing. Like, literally 0 to over 100 employees, like, that
yeah.
quickly. What's been the biggest challenge in that? You know, I understand how when you're growing that quickly, obviously everyone has to wear a lot of hats because it's logistically tough to make all the right hires quick enough, right? What's been the most challenging part of getting the right people in the right seats?
So I think when you look at something like that, it's the handoff. It's the baton of, I had that then, but now I got to hand it off to who?
Mm-hmm.
And how does that go? And what does that look like? And what was the, you know, the SOP on how did we, produce and what did we do and how did we hand it over? But can we make sure that the new people coming on board fit the culture first and foremost? You know, I sat down with one of our leaders, and one time I said, hey, we have an opportunity for, somebody really great in the field. And he, at the end of the day, is like, make sure that although that this individual may have the experience, like, are there people out there that haven't had the experience that we could get them in the seat and they'd just be hitting the culture with the ground running? And how can we ensure that remains our sole focus? So, yeah, we've done a great job. We've done, you know, we have a plan in motion. We stick to our values. That's something that I think, from a company perspective, that I think we've done very right and very well, is that our leaders, both at PAC and Lycos, understand the importance of values and the meaning of who we are from a business perspective and who we are as a family to each other. And then how are we going to grow? How are we going to scale? And how are we going to continue in that forward momentum with the energy and the culture and the buy-in and the experience that we want everybody to have at the end of the day?
Yeah, I mean, it's when you hire people, they need to fit the culture. It's hard to, I think, adjust and teach people that necessarily. You can teach skill. You can skill someone up even if they don't have the perfect experience. But so it sounds like you hire for culture first and then determine skill fit.
Yeah.
And what that looks like after.
I think there's so many ways that you can slice it every which direction. But at the end of the day, we have some of the most talented shared services people that I think I've ever seen and had the opportunity to work with, whether that be individuals that have never done marketing or communications in their life. And they stepped in and we're hiring senior leaders that are saying, oh my gosh, like, she's never done this before. But giving them the opportunity to grow and produce what they think is best, or what's our training team look like and what have they seen? But not only that, like, here's the book, but what do you want to make in your book? What is it that you think is going to be best for our business, for our company. And there's so many podcasts, there's so many books, there's so many different opportunities to figure out how can you develop yourself. But sometimes you just got to look internally, dig a little deep and figure out what is it that you've learned, whether that even be from your own family and kids, to make you mm-hmm. a better leader at the company.
Yeah. So obviously you've made a ton of hires in the last 1 to 3 years. And so onboarding is a huge component of that. Can you speak a little bit to how you guys have evolved from an onboarding perspective and where you feel like you're at today? I'm just really curious to understand, like, when you're bringing on a lot of people, onboarding is probably the one thing that can really trip you up mm-hmm. and that sets the first impression. So I'm just curious how that's gone for you.
Yeah. Great question, because that was one of the first and foremost things that our leadership said when I came on board, that, like, let's make this the best onboarding experience. Mm-hmm. And you know, in one end, you can make an onboarding experience just that. You can sit with the employees and you can teach them about the culture. You can take them on tours of the building and you can run them through every which direction. But at the end of the day, you want to ensure also that they have a good experience of knowing where is their materials, where are their documents, where's our document storage, how do you submit your time off, how do you put in for, you know, your hours worked, what does that all look like? You kind of have to figure out, there's not a one-stop shop that can get you to the end result, but mm-hmm. You know, we've taken it upon ourselves to work a lot with different industries, a lot of different people, to make sure that we figure out onboarding a person is more than just onboarding. It's truly setting up the platform for the career for that individual. And so we've taken a lot of time. We have a really talented training department that has said, hey, we're going to make sure that these individuals feel the TLC, the love. And the other thing is we don't think that we've got it perfected day one. We're coming back and we're asking those construction managers or those folks that are flying in from Texas for their first week, saying, like, what could we do different? What can we do better? And I think that's what sets us apart, is we're not satisfied. We're hungry to get the next, you know, opportunity, and we're hungry to be better.
That's such a good lesson. I mean, process, you got to start somewhere, but it's never perfect. And as long as you have the mentality that, hey, we're just going to keep making it better and we're going to get the feedback.
Yeah.
A lot of businesses don't take the time to get the feedback, and they might just assume, oh, our process is great, but in reality, it's probably not. So another question I want to ask you. So I think there's a lot of people like you out there that manage HR across multiple companies or a family of companies, and that is what you're doing between PacPower and Lycos. What do you find that, what's different and unique about that versus, let's just say, you were managing HR for one company on its own?
Yeah. So like we said, you know, PAC's been around for about 3 years, Lycos 1 year. And so there is some growth that PAC has seen and evolved and has taken it to the next level and have learned from mistakes. And that's been put into place. But then equally, you have a company that's getting kind of their feet wet, understanding what's going to work for them. And although they might say, hey, yeah, you maybe we saw the bruises and the aches and the burns that you felt along the way, but we're going to take our own challenge and we're going to take it and make it our own, you know, our own idea and run with it. And so I think that the cool thing is that you're never feeling like you're just kind of in that stagnant land of, like, oh man, what do we do next? Or how's this going to go? We're learning from each company. We're understanding the business from both sides. We're taking the opportunities and the learned moments, and we're putting them in a full package deal, which I think at the end of the day, when you have a company like Lycos and PAC that we're willing to say, we're not perfect and we're going to grow and we're going to adapt and we're going to develop and pivot, I think it only makes you stronger at the end. And that's the opportunity of having two companies where we can kind of learn from one another.
So before we go to break, what do you think makes PacPower and Lycos, you know, unique from a people and culture perspective? What have you tried to do that you think sets you apart?
Yeah, we say this probably on a everyday basis. We are going to minimize the amount of bureaucracy in our business.
I love that.
We are minimizing it. We are, you know, we all came from industries and businesses where we saw astronomical growth, but astronomical growth comes astronomical amount of approvals, amount of people and players and time and who and what and when and where. And although I totally respect and I understand that that is part of the business, the other piece of the business is you got to be able to move and you got to be able to go. And everybody needs to be a player that throws the jersey on and gets out on the court and says, mm-hmm. throw me the ball. You know, there's a lot of coaches on this team, but when I see and when I walk down the stairs and I see our COO or executive vice president or CEO standing there and looking at blueprints saying, like, nah, I think we got to trench it a little different way. That's a team. And that is something that, you know, that sets us apart for sure.
That's awesome. Hearing that team culture, it's so important from top to bottom too, you know, making everyone feel like they can communicate with everyone on the team. Yeah. So, all right, well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to dive into, I think, some of the hard parts of people ops and growth and hopefully get some good stories from Jessica about what they've learned along the way. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back to the Business Blueprint. Today, we're talking about how to build and scale a team as your company grows. We're joined by Jessica Kulzer from Pack Power and Lycos Energy. They have experienced tremendous growth over the last 3 years, going from zero to 150, 160 employees within the organization. And so what I want to talk about now is obviously you would probably agree that it doesn't go perfect when you're trying to scale and add that many people and grow a company. So I want to get into some of the challenges that you guys have had and maybe, you know, talk about some examples of how you've dealt with, you know, growing pains and all the things that come along with it. So let's just generically, I want to ask you, what are the biggest people challenges that having gone through this now, what are those biggest challenges that come with that rapid growth?
Yeah. So I'm going to go back a little ways. When I was over at Wanzek, I had spent many years and in the opportunity of roles of HR, and I had experienced, I'd gone, you know, from our wind sector to solar to industrial to corporate and every which direction. And that's what happens when you, A, when you grow, B, when you have turnover and just have a lot of just ups and downs and moments along the way. And my honest answer to that is just embrace the moment of all the change that can come and the difficulties that can come with growth and change. But, you know, looking at us, particularly with Lycos and Pack Power, you know, the challenge, but yet also the fun part of it is how do you make it work now, you know, April, May, 2025, 26, but then how can you make it work in 2029? What does that look like? Because if you just are looking down at your feet and saying like, hey, we're in a good spot, we're in a good space, and we've done a great job, you're not strategically planning of what is it that we need to do to make it right, you know, in the months and the years ahead. And so as we continue growing and as we have grown, and even talking with our leader over at Lycos, Chad, and the opportunities that we're going to be having in the battery storage side, it's just, we got to be ready to move quickly. And this isn't just like a talent acquisition, like, oh boy, get ready and get ready to recruit. It's a talent acquisition. Let's recruit the best. Let's recruit the people that we can train, develop, teach, and want to learn. But then how can we also provide that supportive back work, you know, support services, training, development, IT, marketing, communications, HR, like those are all those kind of little hidden areas of the pockets of the business that you can't forget about them while we're, you know what I mean, while they're building it. But we got to make sure that we're keeping our lenses kind of all over the place to ensure that the business is growing, but so is the support services to remain successful.
Yeah. And you kind of alluded to, you know, embracing change, and there's a lot of change that comes with growing that quickly. I find that change management is very tough. I think as humans, we don't love when the ground is unstable underneath our feet all the time. How do you guys manage change and keep everyone positive and get everyone through that?
You know, I think that there was a lot of change that we all in our leadership team have encountered at some point or another. And some of it was change that we were like, yeah, this is good, we can get on board with it. And some of it was change where we're like, man, we are just driving the ship in the wrong direction. But I think part of that also comes with, you know, it doesn't matter, I think, what seat you're sitting in, you will never be able to see the full company discussion or perspective or where and why we're going in a certain direction. And for me, that was a big growing area for me where I sometimes thought like, why are we doing this? Why are we trending or tracking in that direction or that path forward? And maybe a month or two later, I'd be like, that was why. And so I think part of it is the ability to sometimes say you gotta, even though you want the control, you kind of have to let go of the control. You really, at the end of the day, you have to have a leadership team that is comfortable, supportive, and trusting of each other. If you don't have trust, you're not going to make it very far from a business perspective, and the rest of the organization sees it. So if you can have a trusting business where you can look across the table and say, I'm at a roadblock. I need some support. And you're looking over and you're asking, you know, your operations VP, what would you do? I think that builds the trust in the relationship that helps you grow a business.
Yeah. So I think a big part of building trust is, I find, just transparency. And I feel like as I've matured in business, I've gotten better at being just more transparent maybe than I used to be, and understanding like, okay, everyone's got to be professional enough to hear the information, understand what's going on. How do you guys handle transparency across the organization and deciding how much or how little you make visible or tell people about what's going on and the strategy and all that kind of stuff? How do you handle that?
Yeah, we just actually had our, for Pack Power, we just had our first quarterly meeting where we discussed the end of last year, kind of where we sat. And then we talked about where we're at this first quarter and where we're going to be for the next quarter. And then what do we need to look like and what do we need to do in order to be successful come end of year? And then what are we going to do when we come next year? What do we need to put into place? How is our vision? How is our strategic, you know, initiatives aligned? How are we staying aligned? And at the end of the day, if our people in the field don't understand or know the business, the foundation and the focus and the path forward, you're not going to be able to have a business that's ran on trust and the same momentum and the same driven, you know, understanding that in order to become better and do better and be bigger and be stronger, you need to have every piece and partner in the game. And so I think at the end of the day, yeah, it's just like, you know, you got five players out on the court, but then you need to also call your timeouts and pull them all in, and everybody needs to get together and chat and talk through where are those easy hits that we can attack and where are some of those misses that we need to make sure that we're learning from. And I think at the end of the day, it has to come with trust, comes with transparency, and it comes with just being open and honest with the business.
So what does your rhythm look like? So you have a lot of people, you have people in the office, you have people in the field. You're trying to keep everyone rowing in the same direction, understanding the vision, just real tactically, like what kind of rhythm are you on as far as leadership sharing the vision? You know, is it weekly, quarterly, annually? How did just give us some of the mechanics of like how you guys handle keeping everyone going in the same direction?
Yeah. So we have, you know, we obviously have been in businesses and discussions where it's like you're death by meeting after meeting after meeting. But, you know, there's opportunity, I think, from the beginning of the day to set the momentum and the pace and understanding of what do we got ahead of us? What do we got that we need to attack, and who's on maybe some of the same calls and or things that we need to say, hey, let's minimize this. But we are strategically aligned. We have our leadership. We talk on a weekly basis. We sit down, we talk and say, what's the goals of the week? What's the focus areas that we need to focus on? Yesterday I was sitting with my CEO and he was talking about Elon Musk, and about each week Elon says, here's the three top areas of the business that are struggling, and we're going to sit down. We're not going to sleep, and we're going to fix those three by the end of the week. How many times do you see in businesses where it's like, you just keep on kicking the can down the road and the fix never comes? And it's just like, well, we'll talk about it and we'll put it in a new PowerPoint, or we'll address it at some point, or so-and-so missed that day, so we didn't really get to, you know, get it all done. Well, you need to align. You need to first and foremost, and that's what I think we've done well, is we align. We sit down as a team. We talk through the strategies. We talk through the pain points, and we move the business forward.
So in these past 3 years, what have been some of the toughest situations you've had to navigate? If you had to tell us a story maybe about a painful experience in your growth. Do you have anything that sticks out?
Yeah, honestly, I think that there's been painful moments, painful days. I think everybody on the team at some point will say, ah, that was painful. But I don't think anybody has been like, but I felt alone in that experience, or I felt like I couldn't go to my neighbor down the hall or call somebody on the phone and say, hey, we got to talk through this. This is just, you know, it's a moment where I'm struggling. I think that's human nature to have those really tough moments, or sit down and say, like, let's work through it. But, you know, I think this one's kind of comical. We were working through performance management, and our IT guys, who are some of the best in the business, building out some of the opportunity and software to try to drum up some performance management, and where are we and what are the goals and how did we perform in the past year. And naturally, I went home that night, and for some odd reason, I looked at my kid, who she's 8, and I said, hey, Jalen, anything you need me to do different as your mom, or anything I could improve on? And I expected her to just go, no, mom, you did a great job. I mean, that's like typically like a performance review. People are like, you're doing good. Keep it up. But meanwhile, you got like a plethora of stuff that you got to figure out and fix.
Yeah, they don't necessarily want to tell you the bad stuff.
Oh, right? And without hesitation, Jalen said to me, she goes, yeah, absolutely. She said, what you could do better is you could play outside with me more. And when we're outside playing, you could actually give it like 100%. And I'm like, oh, my. And to me, it was a good learning opportunity. Like, how often do we just go home and say to your kids, like, where do I need to improve? And she gave it to me real. And I said, Jalen, don't be surprised if next time I take you outside, I'm stuffing every shot in your face. But I think that's good. That's good for me to, I think, you know, at the end of the day, I run through strategic meetings or sit on a lot of leadership calls. But taking the opportunity to hear it from your kid's 8-year-old mouth of like, here's where you need to really improve. I think that was a growth opportunity for me.
That is such a good story, because literally yesterday I posted on LinkedIn about how I think one of the most dangerous things companies can do is just assume that if someone's not complaining, they must be happy.
Yeah.
And I think you can look at that both from your employee's perspective and from your client's perspective. So like the value of getting that feedback and like really pushing people to be like, hey, you're in a safe space here. You can tell me what you think. Because I think a lot of employees can feel like, oh, am I really allowed to say that? Or is this a setup? But like, if you can build a culture, like it seems like you have, where people can be open and honest and professional and, you know, all for the sake of getting better, I think that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Be willing to hear the feedback if it's not great.
Yep. All right. Well, we're going to take our last break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some practical insights and get some leadership advice from Jessica if you're trying to build a high-performing team. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Business Blueprint. It's been a great episode. It's Cinco de Mayo. The margaritas are kicking in. We've been having some fun conversation with Jessica Kulzer from Pack Power and Lycos Energy. So we've been talking about people ops issues, advice, you know, what it looks like to scale a growing company, which her two organizations that she works with have definitely been scaling very quickly over the last 3 years. And what I want to move into now is just get some insight, practical insight and leadership advice from Jessica. So for someone who's leading the people ops side of a rapidly growing business, if there's another person out there in your shoes who's maybe struggling, where do you think they need to focus first?
I honestly think that anybody in a situation like this needs to get to know their people, needs to get to know the pulse of the organization and understand what are the aches, the pains, the burdens, the prides, the joys, and the successes they've seen along the way. And I think that comes with just natural conversation, getting out in the field if, you know, they're in the field, or getting and sitting and talking through some discussions of what are they seeing and what are the pains and aches. And honestly, then also understanding, like, you can't be a fix-all. You're not going to be a fix-all. You're going to burn yourself out pretty quick if you think you're going to swarm in and just make all these adjustments. And sometimes you're also going to get the Heisman. Some people are going to give you the hand and say, I don't need you. I don't want you. And I don't need to hear your advice. Yep. And I think that's okay. At the end of the day, I think, just continuing to show that you're there, that you want to be part of that team, that you want to provide that insight, that you have, you know, you maybe have a different lens that maybe they didn't see in the past, and try to get that buy-in and that building in the relationship side and understand the business for sure.
So in the world of people, is you're, you know, looking to, you know, as you've brought on a lot of team members, you're going to be bringing on more moving forward. What are some of the non-negotiables to you? Whether they're specific or you think that these would carry into any business, like what are some non-negotiables in your mind that are like, nope, I've, from experience, I realize like these are the boxes you have to check or it's not going to work.
Yeah. One question I think that, you know, I always, if I'm ever interviewing, and I think that our team in general does, is one of the main questions I ask is, take your work hat off. Who are you outside of work? And I think honestly, at the end of the day, a non-negotiable for me is somebody that actually cares about you outside of the business and outside of the office. It doesn't matter if you're HR, it doesn't matter if you're marketing or a construction manager in the business and in the field, you got to care about people. And being a people and culture leader isn't just one person's job. You got to make it everybody's job. Everybody's got to be able to say, hey, I'm here as part of the organization, and the people and the culture is part of my job and opportunity. And so for me, that's a non-negotiable. I need to see that people are willing and wanting to be part of the team.
And at the end of the day, we're all human people that go home at night and have hobbies and interests, and we have issues and problems. And I think building a strong culture, I like to say this too, like, to me, culture isn't just something that you like preach and mandate from the top down. Like, everyone's got to take part in it. Like, every little interaction builds the culture that you want to have in an organization. So that's, I totally hear you there. That's great advice. Leadership. So how do you, how do you think that the leadership in a company can be a better partner to the HR team? So if you're in the world of HR and you're working with leadership, what do you look for from your leaders to make your job easier?
Yeah. You know, I think that a leadership with an HR in a business, I think that there needs to be like that trust first and foremost. But I think that leaders need to understand and help support the fact that there's going to be some situations that we're going to have to navigate through. Some are going to lead us towards the book, if you will, of here's how we have to regulate, you know, the situation. But here are some situations, let's walk through, let's talk through, and let's figure it out together. I think at the end of the day, as leaders and working with some of the leaders that I have the opportunity to work with, who I say are the best in the industry, but just the best people in general, are just ensuring like we're staying consistent. We're taking care of the people of the organization, whether that be through policies, whether that be through processes, whether it be, you know, through benefits. We got to make sure that we're all aligned on at the end game and the end goal. What is it we're trying to do here? You know, obviously we're trying to, build, you know, electrical opportunity throughout the U.S., but we're really trying to give people a good opportunity at the end of the day where they can show up at a job and they can say, I really like what I do. I like my team. And now I can go home and I can, you know, enjoy the things outside of work that I love to do. That's all of our jobs.
Yeah. And I think leadership's, you know, synergy with that is so important because it flows throughout the whole organization. And it seems like you have a pretty engaged group of leaders within the organization that you work with. And I've met Rob. He's a great guy. I'm not familiar with the rest of the leadership team, but like that dynamic seems pretty strong between the two of you for sure and the rest of the team. Can you speak to that a little bit more?
Yeah. So it's kind of funny because you think sometimes when people get to the top that there's no more early opportunity that they're working on themselves and learning on. And our president and of Lycos, our president of PAC and our COO of PAC, we're completing 360 reviews on them right now. And 360 reviews are not just having your leader say, here's how you're performing, but it's getting the buy-in of how are the people that you manage, how are they doing, you know, what's their view of you? What are your peers' view? So you get a full kind of overarching perspective of an individual, our leaders, to say, here's where you're doing well, but by the way, you still need to work on this, this, this. The fact that we have leadership that say we want to be held accountable, we want you to tell us what to do different, we want to be part of that growth and that mindset, that's all we can ask. And I, at one point, we had a meeting and I had two of our senior leaders that didn't join the meeting, and you could just see deflation in some of my team's eyes, like, man, we put so much work and time into this and they didn't even show up to the meeting. We didn't know they weren't going to show up, and it just felt like crap. And I sent them an email and I said, hey, if this is a culture you want, I said, you're going to build it real quick and you're going to lose some relationships and trust, and you're going to lose some of the momentum that you want to see in a business by making choices where you just don't make it. At the end of the day, you're not going to make everything, but send off a message and communicate it. I didn't know how I was going to get the feedback, and he said, do keep that up. Do that every single time. That's exactly what we need in people and culture, is somebody that says, that wasn't right, that wasn't good, fix it. And that's what the trust is that we have.
Yeah, leadership engagement and really diving in and being part of getting into the mud and the weeds and really being part of the culture with the entire team is such an important thing to do. Like over 26 years as I've grown on Sharp, it's like, well, I was a one-man show at the beginning, but I've kind of realized over the time, like I need to stay really close to the people and be involved as much as I can. And I can't always be there. But you realize like people need to feel connected to the top and they need to feel like they have a voice and they can talk to you candidly when they need to. It's a really powerful thing if you want to grow the right culture. So what advice would you give founders or executives about managing people in general?
Open the door. Nothing's beneath you. Nothing's going to be done. You got to sit there and you got to check box, check box, check box. Nobody wants to be micromanaged. So hold yourself accountable to the business, trust your people, trust them in their business, provide them the platform to succeed, provide them the support that they need to grow, give them the opportunity to, you know, kind of venture off and go to the left, go to the right, shimmy shake a little bit and make something of themselves that maybe that you never knew, you know, you did yourself, but give them that time, give them the momentum and give them the opportunity to make themselves better, which ultimately will make your business better.
That's great advice. Okay, my last question for you, if you could give one piece of advice to your younger self starting in HR, what would it be?
Oh, man. Probably just have fun along the way. You know, there are some times I think where sometimes I dug in hard and I'm like, man, these are some tough days or some tough moments. And I was seeing the business from different lenses and approaches where I just struggled. I think at the end of the day, sometimes those are the good days to put the meetings aside and maybe sit down with the people of the organization, sit down and have those candid conversations, sit down and explain, this isn't going to change overnight. This isn't going to be fixed or improved overnight, but we're taking the time to understand and hear you. And, you know, I think that, coming from a world of sports and, you know, being in activities my whole life, I think that I wanted to win overnight. I wanted to see improvement and progress overnight.
Yeah.
But not everybody also is built that way. And so, yeah, I might want to bulldoze and I might want to just fly through, but it's also all right to meet some of those people where they're at and say, hey, you got to pause and you got to work with the business.
Yep. All right. Well, that's all the time we have. Jessica, thank you for coming in.
This
has been a really great conversation. If anyone wants to learn more about PAC Power or Lycos Energy, visit PACPower.com or LycosEnergy.com. And to watch the full episode of today's episode or any of the past episodes, just visit BusinessBlueprintShow.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.